Look, there was a little bit of mourning today. That's what you're going to hear on the catch-up. But you're also going to hear a bit of rebuilding, you know. We're going to make the Maroons great again.
Yeah, Wally, come on, Trevor Gilmister. So we had a few guys, just people who know, saying, all right, listen, this is what we've got to do for game two and three. So that was put our minds at ease. It was good stuff.
What about that phone call we had that they figured that this was a loss that was paid for by the New South Wales Rugby League just so they could get a full house at ANZ Stadium, some sort of kickback process?
Oh, so we've moved out of the mourning period and onto conspiracies.
That's right.
Is that where we're at?
Why wouldn't you?
Just checking.
They obviously moved for lunatics.
We spoke to a guy who wrestled the bloke on the plane who was shouting he was going to blow it up on the Malaysian Airlines thing. That was very interesting as well.
Also, we got a rundown on those Woolworths Marvel discs that the world are after.
My mother-in-law was followed in the supermarket by this lady trying to get hold of them. That was pretty interesting.
You know, do you remember the old Tarzos? Used to do the same thing. Click. Were they in Cheetos? Does anyone remember?
They were, yes.
Cheetos. Mm. Used to make you look like after eating them, you'd had some durries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weren't they?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yellow fingers.
Yeah.
You're all weird.
Enjoy the catch-up.
Marto, Ed and Robin. For T-Moto, huge half-yearly sale. Don't miss your chance to grab a new Yamaha, Kawasaki, Honda or Suzuki motorcycle. TeamMoto.com.au.
We've gone down a few tracks this morning. We've tried to blame people. We've tried to work out how good New South Wales were. And now it's time just to bow down and say, listen, we need some advice.
So you promised both of you that you're just going to listen to whatever Wally says, whatever tone he sets at the end of this State of Origin chat, whatever Wally says goes, right?
Unless he neglects to say that a few blokes need to be tapped on the shoulder.
Okay. Wally, I tried. Hey, Wally.
Oh, yeah, there's bigger sidestepping going on this morning than there was last night.
You're right, mate. You had to listen to Gus Gould at close range for a fair while after the match. You all right?
Yeah, I managed to get out of that. I think we had to cop it on the chin after you lose games. It's never quite comfortable. The thing that sort of got us, made it even more painful, was that prior to kickoff last night, Gus said this is going to be a 4-1 win to New South Wales. We reminded him he was wrong. It was 5-1.
Yeah. All right, well, no. let's look ahead, buddy. Where do we go from here? What do we do?
Oh, well, I think it's time will tell whether we get to have a player or two return from injury, that one being, of course, Jonathan Thurston. There wasn't a lot of creativity in Queensland's attack last night.
So true.
Whenever they got into the strike zone, they seemed to be sort of searching for answers. And Cooper Cronk admitted that he's just used to Thurston, hearing Thurston's voice all the time, demanding the ball, spotting opportunities that existed just on the edge of the ruck, and that wasn't there last night. So Anthony Milford is one of the real quiet guys of the competition. I don't really know sort of how much talk he gets through on the field, but most of the Queensland guys, or all of the Queensland guys, were very happy with his performance last night. He did a pretty good job there, but gee, he was stepping into rather large shoes.
He's not a starter, is he? He's not a starter. He comes on when the big units get tired and then does his own little performance. He can't organise others.
Yeah, he's one of those players that that loves to strike attack tired players and does it all so well. And it was a tough night for him to make his debut, that's for sure. And Queensland, I think everybody agrees that they got beaten in the battle up front. Some of the territory that the New South Wales guys made was something quite extraordinary. It's been a while since Queensland have been out-muscled in the forwards, and they certainly were that last night, and they'll have to turn that around for game two, because unless you dictate terms up the middle, you're going to be doing it pretty tough for the entire 80 minutes.
It's been a while since we had a centre, Justin O'Neill, who missed 8 tackles, ran for less metres than anyone else in the back five, and dropped the ball that led to the Fifita try. Come on, Wally. Is he better than Billy Slater?
We all have tough nights like that. Certainly, he was very disappointed at the end of the game. You certainly couldn't blame him. He copped a pretty big knock early in the game, so the concussion never makes it too easy. But it'll be interesting to see what the Queensland selectors come up with. But I think everybody agrees that one of the first things that that comes to mind is Slater returning there, because Queensland have got to have those options available if they want to make it tough for the New South Wales defence.
Okay, Wally, help me here. We've got 3 weeks until game two, and I could not stand 3 weeks in this studio with these two moping around. We can turn it round, can't we?
Yeah, we can. If you like, I can come in there and make it even tougher with the moping department. I've been doing plenty of it. It's hard to imagine. This is the best New South Wales side that they've picked. I think I said that talking to you guys yesterday. They've picked for 15 years. It was a smart selection process. They chose guys on their favoured positions, their strike zone, left to right side of the field, and looked pretty well. It was as powerful and big. For Fetus' performance last night, I think everybody agrees that he's been a good player for Cronulla, but that's the best game he's ever played in his life. Yeah. Whether he'll be able to back up and add even more strike power to New South Wales in the middle in game two, only time will tell. He's to stop him, Queensland are going to have to probably restructure their defence, particularly from the marker zone, and pick him off side on and try and drop him.
Marker defence.
Wally, we were we were so loose around the middle.
Fast, fat Lewis. Guys with tats. We hate those guys. Hey, Sterlo had a lot to do with it too, I reckon, Ned. Don't you, anyone else think that?
Well, you told us that yesterday, that Sterlo had his hands all over this.
He's been a very smart operator, and Pete, and he's just been sitting in the neutral seat for a long, long time in the commentary, and he's played an enormous role. One of the most interesting things for me was watching New South Wales before the game and at half time. It wasn't the coach sitting there screaming at them, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. They simply broke into two or three different groups, left field, right field, and the guys that defend and attack up the middle. Yep. And they were talking about what their plans were and whether they were effective, what they needed to do to correct them if they weren't working all that well. Yep. And you could just see the sheer professionalism that existed between them.
They got us a good one last night. Yeah. Well, we've got to take our hats off, so that's it. But
need to get back into the coaching.
That was one of Queensland's worst times ever. I don't want to make it even more disastrous.
Mind you, he was suggesting that Dell strap on a boot about an hour ago.
That wasn't
so
me, that was someone else.
Okay.
Don't go that far.
We'll see you on Channel 9 News tonight. Wally Lewis and King taking time for us today. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. See you. Big names in your workplace. They're all over
the place. The big names in your workplace. Yeah. This is fun because we haven't done this for a while, Robin. We need some positivity today. There's been Queensland Origin teams. There's movies being shot every day in Queensland now. Big movies, big TV shows. So people must have had a brush with famous people. Here comes Mick from Redland Bay. First up, who was the big name? What was the workplace, bro?
Hey guys, it was Cameron Smith.
Oh, great. Ooh, where did he come? Where are you working?
Well, it was about 6 years ago. I used to work at a hardware store.
Yeah.
In Browns Plains, and yeah, he popped in there. It was a little embarrassing, actually, because I didn't know who he was. I'm like, oh, I know this guy from somewhere, but I can't picture it. And I wasn't the biggest fan back then. So when he paid, I had a look at his credit card, and then my jaw just dropped.
What did he buy?
Yeah, what did he buy?
He bought, pretty sure it was a set of Stanley screwdrivers.
Slot head or Phillip head or both, combo?
It was a set, yeah, so both.
Oh, nice. Wow, he's so versatile.
What would he have been doing? Would he do his own electricals at home?
Oh, yeah.
Cam?
Yeah, well, he's a Marsden boy, so I'm pretty sure he was probably just buying something for the house.
What was he? Looks a lot like an accountant. I know he's got hairy arms and everything, but what was he dressed in? In tradie gear or...?
Just casual gear. I can't really remember.
No ideas.
Remember the screwdriver, though. That's important.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Mick. That's perfect. That's exactly what we're trying to do here. Donna's from Woodridge. Donna?
What are we trying to do here, Ed?
Just make ourselves feel better. Or make you two feel better.
And also, these are famous people, and you think they live in ivory towers just dropping diamonds into glasses of champagne.
They're just like us.
They're just like us, mate.
We have never had a big name at a urinal next to you. Have I ever told you at Origin in 1980, the first Origin, only a kid, we had the urinal next to Senator Ron McAuliffe.
I don't even know who that is.
Senator, I don't want to talk anymore about it.
Okay, Donna of Woodridge. Who was the big name and where were you working?
It wasn't actually me, it was my partner. Yesterday, they had a possum at their work that had been run over by or hit by a car and it was injured.
Oh.
And he called someone to come and get it, and Glenn Lazarus was the person that turned up.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Is he now the possum man?
Yeah.
Who was he working for? Yeah, wow.
What?
Just a wildlife... wildlife place, yeah. We're not.
So he's a carer. He might even be a volunteer possum carer person.
He could be too, yeah.
Lazo's a great bloke, but I didn't know he loved possums that much.
Well,
that's the most bizarre one. We're going to look into that, Donna. That is quite
very
incredible.
Cool.
It's very nice of him. That's amazing. I had no idea he cared so much about possums.
There we go.
George. <He's the one. laughs> George is from Marsden.
Hey, George.
Howdy.
Yeah, hi. Who came into your workplace? What were you doing?
Well, it was Mark Hunter and Marcia Hines.
Oh, where were you?
In the early 80s. Yeah. Well, Mark Hunter, I was working at a strip club called the Pink Panther in King's Cross.
Oh, I know it. I've seen it. Yeah.
And Marcia Hines, I was around at an adult shop talking to a mate, and Marcia Hines dropped it, walked in and wandered around and had a look.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Did she buy anything?
On that occasion, no, but on other occasions, I wasn't there, yes.
Oh, it's all right, I asked it. It's all right.
Now safe. Did we get to Mark Hunter? Like, was it, how did he, what do I ask, Robin?
How did he go in a strip club?
Yeah.
Was he having fun?
He was walking, but he stopped out the front, and I'm looking at him thinking, I know you, I know. And then I said, are you Mark Hunter? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you want to come in? And he said, oh, why not? It didn't cost you nothing.
Anyway,
we came in, sat down for half an hour or so, watched it, and then he left.
Oh, nice.
What a wonderful
year. So he had a lovely night. Spontaneous invitation.
Let's stay with George for just a sec. Now, Pink Panther, you would have seen a lot of celebrities. You could probably ring in, just dribble them out to us each week, one at a time, couldn't you?
A long time ago, but you did see the odd celebrities walking out. But just while I got you, the best Willem Dafoe movie, Boondock Saints.
Oh, Boondock Saints, well done. Low-budget thriller. It's from the late 90s. That is, if anyone's looking for a movie far down the Netflix calendar to have a look at, and George is absolutely right. Boondock Saints is a fantastic
movie. I've never heard of it.
It's a very good small movie in the sort of Guy Ritchie kind of heisty thing. It's a very good movie.
What
he's right.
What a good man George is.
Good George. Very well spotted.
We'll go one more. John from Caboolture. What was your workplace?
Workplace was a karate dojo in New South Wales.
Righto. Mm. Who was it?
Okay, so I had to do a demonstration on the set of Street Fighter in the makings back in 93.
Oh, my God.
And it was the muscles from Brussels, Van Damme.
Van Damme. Now, John, you know perfectly well that this segment is just because I want to hear stories about the filming of Street Fighter on the Gulf Coast. John, how was he? How was the muscles from Brussels? Because the legend is that he's tiny, but he's incredibly strong and ripped, and he's incredibly flexible. How did he go?
He definitely was. He was also quite arrogant at the time.
Was he?
He's pulled out some words on one of his students and basically jumped in the ring with the sensei and got taught a lesson.
Oh,
that's
so
nice.
He thought he was really good.
Was your
sensei beat up Van Damme?
Well, I wouldn't say beat up. He basically just took him in the air while he was doing one of his little fancy spinning back kicks. Yes. He got put on his ass.
Oh, there you go. Did that curb his arrogance at all?
It certainly did. He actually came up and shook the hands and, sat down. We had a bit of a chat for everybody afterwards. He was actually quite humble about it. So,
Yeah, I think he was quite humble after he saw the box office takings and the reviews for Street Fighter as well. That took the wind out of your sails.
Did Street Fighter win today?
Oh, yeah, always. There wins every week.
Is that the Kylie Minogue movie?
Oh,
Robin.
I don't know.
It's so much more than that. It is so, but yes, it is. It's
okay,
so
thank
much
you.
More than that,
I'm,
but it
I'm
is
trying to participate.
That.
It was a long time ago.
Thank you. That's a yellow for you, mate.
Oh, my goodness. What? Because I didn't know that Street Fighter had Kylie Minogue in it.
That's
no, for calling it that Kylie Minogue. That Kylie Minogue movie is Delinquents. Yeah. This is Street Fighter.
John, you're going to Placebo, mate. 20 years of Placebo Australian tour happening at the Brisbane Convention Centre. Tickettech.com.au for tickets. Well done. John, you win today.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. But also, a little heads up, too. Two weeks, Scott Adkins is in town.
Who?
Scott Adkins. He's in Doctor Strange, Undisputed series.
Oh, now, how do you know that?
I am actually going to see him.
Okay.
Oh, I love it, mate.
Enjoy that.
You were ahead there with Van Damme, but you lost us there.
Mato, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M. Don't make me take those tickets away.
Good heads up.
Tell you what, Cavalli, you would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in the dressing room of the Blues Sheds last night.
Well, that's exactly what I was. Oh. And as you know, I get exclusive audio from the Blues dressing rooms, Robin Bailey. And
yes, you do.
Fair play to them. Fair play to them. They were much better than us last night. Their big players really stood up. And the move.
God, I saw the vision, but there was no audio. I saw Laurie there having a chat to them, trying to tone them down a little
bit.
What
happened was, after they were kicked out all the press, we kicked out all the media, and then just the inner sanctum as Laurie Daly, the ecstatic Laurie Daly, got all the troops together for their team meeting after the game. And, well, here's the audio.
Guys, players, please gather around and hear from your coach, Laurie Daly. Oh, I'm so happy with your effort that my hair is standing up on end, because that's what real hair does. It stands up on an end. First things first, Mitchell Pearce, you played so well.
Pleased to meet you, Mitchell.
No, you're Mitchell Pearce. Oh, God, I think you might have had a concussion.
Where am I, Daddy?
Never mind that. You played so well. Here's a present.
Oh, a sexy poodle.
Yes, do with what you want. Just don't film it. David Clemmer. Oh, you listened to my instructions perfectly. I told you not to think about too much with what you did. And looking into your eyes now, it looks like you're still not thinking. Nothing. I'm thinking nothing at all. Congratulations.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
Perfect.
David Clemmer here. What I did was, at breakfast, I got a hot dog bun. And I went over to Boyd Cordner and I said, hey, Boyd, do you want a hot dog? And then I said, but it wasn't a hot dog in there.
No, enough of that story.
You want some sauce with that, Boyd?
No, stop that. Stop that. You played really well. Jared Hayne.
I'm Jared Hayne. And I have saved Origin.
Oh, no.
Jesus' favourite player has another dream.
Justin, I hate you as well.
For just $2 million, I will tell you where Chappelle Corby is hiding.
No deal, Jared. Stop that.
Good morning, boys. It's Brett Morris here. In case you didn't realise, I was playing on the wing.
What's a Brett Morris?
Andrew's never seen you before in his life.
Who's that? Piss off, Brett.
Hey, Brett. Do you want a hot dog? A lot of sauce?
Guys. I'm so excited, but let's not forget who we did this for.
I did it for me, parole officer.
I did it for sexy poodle.
What did it for all the chicks in all these?
I did it for my Jared Hayne again here. I did it for Jesus and money. Mostly for money.
It's Josh Durgan again. I'm just getting a tattoo of myself, passing the ball to myself. I did it to inspire young people to chase their dreams.
Really, Josh? Is that why you did it?
No, I did it so I can get shit-faced after. Passes a bruiser.
Yeah, fantastic. We've all got our reasons, don't we? Oh, goodness me, guys. Well, to celebrate this fantastic victory, I have a couple of surprises for you.
Hey, g'day, guys. It's Bertie. I've flown in from Woofterland. Oh, fresh.
Right.
I'm out of parole.
Of course. It's Todd Carney.
Todd Carney.
What's it, Todd Carney? I'm so happy for you.
Jesus loves Todd Carney. He turned water into a drink.
Hey, guys, it's me, Paul Gallen.
Yes. Way to kill the vibe, Paul. Anyway, on to game two.
Well, you know what? For years, cockroaches have been talking about the demise of our ageing stars, just hoping that the decade of dominance would end. Well, last night, I reckon we saw it. It's finally happened. Nate Miles, Aidan Guerra.
What, they were too slow?
They're too old and slow compared to their big blokes are big and they're also fast.
Is that what you think happened, Dad? You're being very quiet.
No, that's definitely, I just, Fifita dancing around them. Our defensive line was fractured so many times, and then just people trailing, just they had a lot of support.
Cam Smith missed a lot of first up tackles too.
But he was by himself.
I wasn't listening to any commentary, all right? I was just watching it from my very cheap seventh level seat that I that I was given. Sitting next to your
My housekeeper, Zilma.
All right, what do we do? Justin O'Neill was rubbish, and we knew he'd be rubbish. Remember last week when we were talking about him and going, Darren Lockyer, you're a muppet if you're the one that selected O'Neill ahead of Billy Slater.
Who's the other selector? Because obviously Kevin Walters has been rolled with who? Oh, gee, I'm really on foot at Justin O'Neill playing ahead of Billy Slater for Queensland.
We were told by Kevy, shut up. This is the team we've picked, and we said we'll get behind you. We did. Well, it's got to stop now. That was a completely dominant display last night by New South Wales.
It really didn't look good, but I'd love to know what people thought. What went wrong last night? Give us a call. 1-3-3-5-3. You watched the game, or even if you watched the first half or second half.
Can I ask you guys, you two watched it on telly?
I fell asleep on the couch.
Was Gus annoying, though?
Gus is always annoying.
All right.
Yeah, I turn it down, to be honest, because I can't be bothered, especially when they're winning. So, 1-3-3-5-3, you watched last night. It's now your chance to have your say, because we might bag these up and play some of these to Wally Lewis, who's coming on a bit later on.
Mm. So, what, do you want to know what went wrong, or do you want to know whose fault it is?
That'll be both, because I'll say, in part of what went wrong is whose fault it is.
Can I give you a template? Dylan Napa. We said before the game, this bloke looks like he's made for Origin. He proved it last night. That's what happens when you put young blokes who are aggressive, who are quick. He was the star of our pack.
And then he got injured, which was terrible. Oh. So, anyway. Okay, what went wrong?
Matthew of Griffin, what went wrong? Who's to blame?
Definitely Justin O'Neill and probably Miles in the centre. We need to get rid of Miles, put Jared Wallace in there, big hard-running forward.
Great call.
Put Gagai in the centres.
Yeah, great call.
Slater on the wing. Take Morgan off the bench. Put McCulloch in there to shore up our defence.
Whoa, that's not bad.
That's an interesting idea. Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate that. Matt,
you obviously are having a close look. Did you see Cam Smith missed a lot of tackles last night? He was getting beaten for pace through the centre.
He did, and he needs to have a rest. Put a McCulloch in there who's just tackles all night long, and he's good in the hooking role as well. Put him in there, it'll shore up everything and give us a few more options.
Valentine Holmes, couldn't we have done with more creativity?
I reckon him in the other centre.
Chambers?
Yep.
Go on.
Both of them, both those centres, rushed up, missed tackles everywhere.
Thank you.
Both those guys in the centres and that'll shore up everything and give us more attacking options.
Mm. Okay. Thanks, Matthew. That's
sorted.
Comprehensive.
See, Matthew should be, instead of Darren Lockyer on the Channel 9 coverage...
Yeah.
Because Darren's good at just waving to people. That's what he's good
queen.
At. Yeah, he can't speak. So let's just can that.
Okay, so here's Troy from South Bank. Well done, Troy, Matthew. What went wrong, mate? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, how you going, guys? I think, personally, mate, we got beat by a better team
on
South Wales last night, fair and square, you know. But is it time to look at the loyalty plan and ditch that? Like, I think some of those players, as far as loyalty, yeah. You know, do we bring Wendell Saylor and that back out of retirement and say, true to loyalties, let's put him in?
Well, I think you're right. I think the loyalty thing has been wonderful for us, but it might be time for a slight change to tack.
Has anyone seen Wendell lately?
Well, Wendell had some thoughts on Kevy, which we might play a bit later on, actually.
Wendell makes Andrew Fifita look slender.
Right.
So he won't be running on.
Michael of Redcliffe, what do you reckon? What went wrong? Who's to blame?
Look, I think their tackling was pretty ordinary. We aimed up early for the first 10 minutes, which is good. Like, we need a Gilmeister, one high, one low. Take that big Fifita's legs out. He can't go anywhere.
Michael, they kept trying to cuddle him to the ground, and he's too quick.
You can't wrestle Fifita.
No, he's too strong. Take his legs out. Stop him.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Some Gilmeister action around the legs would have been nice, which is normally what Guerra and those sort of guys do. That's their stock in trade, but it wasn't sort of there.
Saying is, Ed, you can't run without your legs and you won't want to run without your throat. That's why you go one low, one high, and that should come back into Origin. That's
Dylan
what
Napa,
it's about.
Let's not forget, look, they were unlucky last night with the injury of Dylan Napa early because he does look like, you know,
he's Origin.
Future.
Does he go low or high?
He goes through.
He goes through. Yeah, okay.
Aims for the face. Neil is from The Gap. Neil, what happened, buddy?
Neil.
Yeah, g'day.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on.
I seriously think that your attendances in Sydney would be nil had New South Wales lost this game. I think that basically the establishment through it. If you look at the start of the match, Queensland's kick and chase. The first kick, there was five Queenslanders down the field. Mm. All the kicks after that, they were giving New South Wales 20 to 30 metres.
Yeah,
it's just theory. I remember years ago, I saw Darren Lockyer was captain, and much the same thing happened. The New South Wales attendances were down, and he had the bottom lip out from the start of the match. It just looked like Queensland weren't trying, and it didn't look like Queensland were trying at all last night.
You reckon the fix is in? We're getting a kickback to fill ANZ Stadium in Sydney.
I love it.
Absolutely.
I love it, Neil.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Clearly,
you know
that's right.
To go full circle, I'm going to put all of my money and I'm going to bet on a sellout in Sydney and I'm going to put it at the Star in Sydney, which is their major sponsor. And I'm going to clean up.
God.
And it's going to be fantastic. Here's one statistic I'll throw at you.
Yes, please.
Go on.
Cameron Smith made 43 tackles last night, which he normally makes a lot of tackles. That's too many. if he's got to have an effect on the other side of the field, that's too many for him to be having to make.
Well, he's the creator of our attack, especially without JT there to ease the burden on Cooper Cronk. Yeah, you're right.
So you're saying he was tired?
I'm saying that he didn't have enough help in the middle and that forwards were standing around because that's too much. And that's too much, and I think he got tired towards the end of the game.
Okay, so I just took the minutes. Loyalty out,
yes.
O'Neill out, McCulloch in. We need to tackle more, and Gilmeister needs a recall, apparently.
Miles and Guerra gone. Just throw that on the list.
What we'll about do. Slater?
Slater.
No one mentioned Billy Slater.
Well, he's coming back, clearly.
You reckon?
See, I think there was a master plan. I think that, you know, that they all the boys got together and said, mate, we'll lose this one, so you have to come back for the next one.
Well, who did they tell? They just... Well,
each other.
Yeah, O'Neill was in that group.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I got it covered. Don't worry.
Darius Boyd did bugger all last night. Solid, don't cut it at origin level.
Hey, Robin, have you got any girlfriends who are mums who are having to collect these Marvel Heroes super discs from Woolworths?
Oh, yes. Facebook is awash with, we need X, Y, and Z, but we have four of A, B, and C happy to swap.
What are we talking about here?
These little discs, man. I didn't know this was a thing until something happened to my mother-in-law. There are these little sort of discs, and they have pictures of superheroes on them, and they've become the hottest item for kids. And it's starting to cause a bit of trouble around the place. If people know what they are, 133353. If you're collecting them, or if you're looking for them, or if your kids are screaming for them.
You remember the old days? They used to have them in breakfast cereals. Little, not these things, but other things. Where do you get them?
They're not figurines. So this is what happened. This is what made me think of it. My mother-in-law was in the supermarket, and my wife saw her afterwards, and she was a bit flustered. And we're like, "You all right? You know, Jeanette?" She's like, "Oh, I had an incident in the supermarket." And we're like, "What happened? What did you do?" And she said, I was doing the weekly shop for the family, and I had a very full trolley, and I noticed there was a woman behind me, and all she had was one packet of rice, but she was following me." We're like, "What? No, she wasn't." "Yes, she was. She followed me." And then she got to the front.
That happens at the supermarket. You go down one aisle, you come back the other. It's possible that someone accidentally followed you.
She said that when she got to the counter and she was about to pay for her stuff, this woman said, excuse me. She goes, yes, what is it? She's like, you're about to buy all that, aren't you? And she said, yes, I am. And she said, okay, I need your discs. That's the first thing she said. I need your discs. And my mother-in-law was like, I'm not buying discs.
Jeanette.
She had no idea what was going on. Cut a long story short, Jeanette finished her shop and then she got handed 24 of these Marvel discs.
Okay,
right?
Based on the money that she'd spent.
Oh. Yeah. She left them at the checkout for this woman to collect, but then just walked off. And the woman chased her, grabbed her by the shoulder and said, where are they?
What?
And she said, I left them at the counter for you. She's like, where? And she pointed back at the seat, and the woman was holding them up. And she didn't even say thank you. She just sort of just ran off and grabbed them.
Did she tell you what they look like? They're like casino chips? Is that what we're talking about?
I think they look
about?
A bit like that. Mm. If anyone knows, 133353, what is going on with these Marvel superhero discs that are coming out of
But what do they get you? Can you?
I don't know.
No, you just collect them. It's the you know, 21st century version of stamp collecting. Oh, yeah, or footy cards.
But it's gone feral.
It is feral.
How many are there?
I don't know. If people know,
40-something, I think.
Please let us know, because this,
my kids
to me,
are too old.
Well, see, this is like those cans of gold. You've got to get all the letters to Queenslander, and a mate of mine's having trouble getting the L.
All right. Well,
Marta knows exactly what we're talking about.
The elusive L, he calls it, and he has to buy cartons.
If you know anything about these Marvel discs, or the L's on cans of gold.
What happened if you get all Queenslander? What do you get?
Well, you just put them on the shelf at home and go, look at how much beer I've been drinking.
Put it next to your Boonie and your Warnie from a few years ago. Seems like it's reached that fever pitch, Robin. You were saying it's all over Facebook. It's all over Gumtree as well. People looking
eBay.
For these things. Well, what are they? Mandy from Alimba, what are these things?
Oh, they're just little discs that you can connect together and make things out of. That's what I've got a five-year-old, so that's what he does with them. But, yeah.
And they got pictures of superheroes on them.
Yeah, all the Marvel heroes, so Hulk and...
How many are there?
42.
Have you got all of them?
Yeah. We got 42 is apparently the really rare one that's sold on eBay for $900, and we had like eight of them.
Oh, are you going to sell it?
Hold on.
I know, I gave them away.
You didn't, Mandy. It's number.
I got it right at the start.
I've just looked on eBay, and it's number 12 Ultron, and there's one for sale for $250.
What's Ultron's superpower?
I think he's expensive.
He's got a sixth strength. His strength is six. His fighting is four. His intelligence is six. His speed is three. And
what?
His durability is one.
What a load
that
of rubbish.
Like Nate Miles.
Hey, all right, Rocker. Roscoe.
Just lost his...
There you go.
Yeah, good, mate. Do you remember Tarzos? It sounds like them.
Yeah, they're about the same size. They're about the size of a casino chip or a poker chip, but yeah. I don't know. I don't usually have casino chips in my hand long enough to see what size they are.
Wow. I know that feeling. So, mate, is it about adults or kids?
Hey, the kids collect them, but one of my sons keeps finding them at school, in inverted commas, you know, turning red when he says, look the one I found today, Dad.
So he's stealing them.
Whose bag did you find that in?
How many's he got?
He's got all of them except for number 30. Apparently number 30 is the rare one.
Robin, go to number 30, if you wouldn't mind. Okay. Thank you, Roscoe. We might be able to sort you out. Shauna is from Ascot. Hey, Shauna. And Shauna, who is collecting these things?
Look, I have to say my partner's collecting them and he's early 40s. Oh, and he just like, have you got any tokens? Did you get any tokens? So, hang on.
Shauna, we've got you as living in Ascot. You're saying you have a partner who's in his 40s from Ascot, which is a relatively good suburb.
I love it.
Collecting these. What's he up to?
And he's an accountant.
Oh, dear.
So it all fits.
Is it, now, they fit together, I'm told. Do you build towers out of them, do you?
No. You buy the book. The book was $5, and apparently there's a million tokens of each one. So there's no rare one. There's just a million of each. So it's sort of like a million between Australia. So,
but you know what happens, Shauna, though, is they often, with the McDonald's monopoly, this is what they always find out, that a certain number of those ones went here, but they didn't end up in there. So they kind of, that's
different
how
country,
the value, parts of the country. Robin, we've asked you the task of looking at, what's this?
I found it. Number 30 is Thanos.
Is that supposed to be a superhero?
Apparently. Well, this 42. You got to come up with some. Okay, so Thanos' strength is 7, fighting is 4, intelligence is 6, speed is 2, and durability is 6.
Oh, is Thanos? He's a wizard with the garlic sauce, though. He is. You get it. He is
amazing. Right. That's what Thanos. He's a wok king.
Smarto Ed and Robin, new Triple M.
What about all these cruel people kicking Tiger Woods when the bloke's down?
What do you mean?
Oh, everyone's lining up. Well, he's got picked up again. If you haven't seen the story, he was asleep at the wheel of his car in a highway in Florida. He drives a Merc, if you're worried, if you were nervous about how bad things are going. I think he was driving a Merc that night when his wife attacked him with the golf.
Similar car. So, no, I think that might have been a Chevrolet.
Anyway,
and it doesn't matter. That's beside the point.
But everyone's going, he's lost it. That's the end of Tiger. I feel so sorry for him. He had that back surgery, and he's obviously on so many bloody painkillers by the looks of it that he fell asleep. The two of the wheels were flat.
That's what he's saying. It was prescription medication.
Well, it's been proved by he registered 0 on the breathalyzer.
Yeah.
And then he said, look, I take a number of prescriptions, and he itemized them to the police, which they've since said yes. But once again, Robin, you know, in America, the problem with prescription medication is ridiculous. The amount of painkillers that you can be on 4 or 5 different prescribed medications.
You don't reckon it goes on here? Because I'll worry about some of these people.
Not as bad.
Oldies driving around.
In America, they can actually do like infomercials for Scripts. So I've seen it. Yeah, they come on and actually tell people this is the medication you need to be taking.
This is the gear you need.
Yeah, this is the gear. Like it's like on a shopping channel. It's the weirdest thing.
It's bizarre, isn't it? And they start with like, have you ever felt tired? Have your vision blurry in the mornings? Do you go to the bathroom too much? And they're so vague, the symptoms, you're like, well, I've got that.
Yeah,
whatever that is.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Yeah. I need tons of those. Hey, I'll ask you this, Robin. 4 back surgeries since 2014.
Mm. Poor guy. That's pretty yucky.
Now, Marta, you've had a couple of, surgeries.
I've never had back surgery. That's wicked stuff.
I feel like back surgery is a really, really tough thing to come back from. 4 back surgeries since 2004.
Do we know why? Like slipped discs or
shaggers?
What? Okay, I didn't say how. I said what actually.
It's a game of touch and practice golf. So he's had to stay in touch. The Blake's still making $45 million a year. None from hitting a golf ball, from endorsements. $45 million. Yeah. Before he got into that little bit of trouble with the babysitter, his mate's babysitter.
And paid his ex-wife $250 million.
Jesus, how much he paid her? He was making $100 million a year in endorsements before all that happened.
Why are you feeling sorry for him?
Oh, just because he was a champion. He was the only reason I used to watch golf, and then now I'm off it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel it's not the nicest mugshot either.
Sure, he can't drive, but he should be back playing golf.
Why? Not if he's had four back surgeries and he's earning $100 million just for a sitting.
But if he's that far off his chops, it'd be great to watch him have a hit.
You still got John Daly.
Oh, that.
Well, we don't. He's gone as well. He's gone as well.
Mm. Rod Pampling?
Rod Pampling. No, he's a proper golfer.
Just naming good golfers now.
He's a Caboolture golfer.
And just so people know, it was a Cadillac Escalade.
Oh, thank you.
I can't believe you just Googled that. Of all the things to talk about Tiger Woods, you have Googled the car his wife hit with a golf club.
Because if anyone's out there and they're cheating on their wife, they need to know a solid vehicle, a getaway car.
Club proof.
Same.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M. Bleak, bleak morning if you're a Queenslander.
Well, let me just explain what's been happening in this studio for the last hour and a half. Of course, last night, State of Origin, 28-4, New South Wales win. So these boys are trying to be constructive. And with your help over the last hour and a half, we've been taking calls about what you think went wrong. Yeah. And Marto's got a list of the kind of things that, you know, you've decided need to happen forward with Origin.
I have no right because I never played Origin, but I've watched every single one of these things. So it's better that we talk to an expert.
Okay, yeah, so you don't want to go through your list just in case.
Well, you know what I think about Justin O'Neill. He should be gone. Aidan Guerra should be gone. That's the end of Josh Maguire. Cam Smith needs a bit more time off during the game. Actually, Will Chambers, you can go too because we need Valentine Holmes and Billy Slater in. But we're better off talking to an expert.
You wound him up, off he went. Hello, Mick Hancock.
How are you? Are you trying to be constructive or destructive?
No,
I'm a bit confused.
Constructive. Last Tuesday when they picked the team, Mick, we had a fair old go and said Billy Slater should have been there, and then we wrapped it up. Ed, correct? We said, that's it. We're positive from now on, but we're now going, well, it's glaring.
Yeah, mate, look, it's a little bit bad now because it's going to be a bit of egg on, and I feel sorry for it. It's going to be truly on Kevy's shoulders, you know, because no one else is really going to care about the selectors or what they've done, you know, because Kevy usually, well, 9 times out of 10, mate, you know, like when you do representative football, it comes back to the coach's decision because he's got to coach those players. So, look, I thought the first half was absolutely best half of football I've seen in many, many years. Like, there was one mistake, they really went at each other, they tackled, you know, I mean, it was great half of football, but then I thought we looked very tired in the second half, and is that the age factor catching up on us?
Hey, that try before half-time, that's the killer, Mick. You go in with your shoulders down, and they came out the second half with no energy.
Yeah, no, exactly right. That's always a momentum changer when you score a try. And it was, a minute to go. I mean, Kevy would have been absolutely livid about that, and I'm sure he would have given it to him. But 9 times out of 10, they come out in the second half, and you know, you use your lift after that. But, no, the momentum was always with New South Wales, and then look, I was hoping. I seen glimpses of Milford. That I did a function. I thought if he comes out, they're tied. He is going to rip them apart because he could just play his natural game. But then he had the head clash with Pearce, and that was the end of that. And we looked a bit clunky after that. We just didn't look smooth. Everything that we did, you know, Kemen wasn't his normal self. And you know, for Feet of the Beast, oh mate, I want one of him in our team. How good was he?
Is he the fattest the fastest, fattest man on earth, isn't he?
He's got everything, hasn't he? He's just got a step. He's got the offload. He is just built for rugby league. And, look, he was fantastic last night. And we were a bit down. But, like I said, changes. I think poor old Nate's got to go. Lilliman's got to go. Cohen Hess and probably Jared Wallace will come in there, I would imagine. And then at the back, Billy will be in. Darius to the wing. And Valentine Holmes, like you said, and I would absolutely, he was, our best player was Dane Gagai by far. I'd put him in the centres.
Yep.
Ed, you're very quiet.
Oh, I'm just taking it in. Mick Hancock knows these things. I don't. I'm just a rabid fan.
I don't know anything. I'm down the bottom of every tipping competition, mate. I work in the game. I know nothing, trust me.
Oh, mate, you had such credibility until that moment.
That's it. I just one, Mickey, before I know you got a big morning this morning. Cameron Smith had to make 43 tackles. I know that he tackles a lot every game, but to me that shows that perhaps the forwards in the middle there weren't backing him up enough, and that's really where we have to start. You know, if we're going to have younger forwards, that's okay. Sure, they might be green at this level, but at least they'll be enthusiastic. Dylan Napa looked fantastic until he got injured.
Yeah. Look, and he actually went out there and did his best. You know, and it was a big occasion for him. You can see he got tired, you know what I mean? And that's when New South Wales capitalised. Through our middle, we were loose. Fafita capitalised on that. Tedesco through the middle.
But you've nailed it. That was the word. We were loose.
Here's
that was
a stat.
It, Mick Hancock. Well done.
Josh Maguire made 44 tackles. But what we need is a stat, how far the opposition went after Josh Maguire tackled them, how far they went before they hit the bloody ground anyway.
Yeah, Cohen Hess, mate, bring him in there. He's a big unit. We've got to give him a go. I mean, that's as pure as simple as that. So
Mick Hancock, love it, mate. The little bit of positivity, something to look forward to for game
it's
two.
It's only a game. It's only a game.
it's on in 3 weeks' time. Yeah. Hey, we're not dead and buried yet.
Yeah. No, it's time for a comeback.
I'll give you a stat, Mick. Here's one to go home with. Yeah. 2002, remember we lost that first one by 28 points.
Yep.
We came back, won the second game, drew the third, hang on to the Origin trophy.
But I have said it's 75% who wins the first game, go on and win the series. Anyway, I'll leave
you. No. You were doing so well. Okay, I'm going to stick to the facts out of this particular story. It's on page 9 of today's Courier Mail. Police are hunting for the remains of a murdered New South Wales man, a guy by the name of Matthew Levison, and they found human bones at the search site. Yep. Matthew was last seen leaving a club in Sydney in 2007. After his disappearance, his partner, Michael Aitkins, who's now 54, was charged with his murder, and a jury found him not guilty following a highly publicised trial in 2009. Do any of you guys remember this?
Vaguely, yeah.
Okay, so his admissions...
But wasn't there a big search for it last year?
Yes, okay, but his admissions were used as leverage with a deal was struck, which meant Aitkins was given indemnity from prosecution if he revealed the location of the body.
Hold on, 1 minute he's getting a life sentence, and then they said, if you show us where the body is, you're free?
So it's gone to trial. A jury found him not guilty.
Oh, not guilty.
Not guilty, right? And then they've tried to open the investigation, and they've struck a deal that as long as he tells them where the body is, he won't have to have further prosecution. And I guess I'm just asking, what do you think about that? Do you think that's fair? Does someone get off doing a crime if they give the family closure? Well, because you know, for my money as a parent, I would want to know where my child was. And I know with the Morecambes, for example...
What would be more important to you, Robin, that whoever was responsible was brought to justice or that the remains of your loved one was found?
Remains. I would want my baby near me. I would want to know where they were and I'd want to be able to... No.
You don't mind if that person didn't go to jail?
No, because I think that's bitterness and anger. That you can't be surprised from me saying that. I'm someone who hopefully comes from the heart, but I'm really interested with you guys as to how you would feel about it.
You know how I am with revenge. I would rather that if I'd let them off, but if I can go over and fix that bloke up as the father of the person who died.
No, you can't do that.
I can't go to jail.
You can't. Oh.
Well, that should be that's interesting. That's a common sense law. That's a common sense law. If you do something to somebody who... He's already been judged guilty, correct?
Well, no. He was found by a jury to be innocent, but then subsequently when the police came back after him... Well, obviously.
But double jeopardy, you can't go to jail.
You can't go to jail anyway, so they've done a deal. Ed, you're not as vindictive as Marto often.
I don't have children.
He's not a parent
yet. I think that affects the way you are, but there was a situation we were watching the news last night. And this did come up, and Tiff did say, rubbing her belly with our child in it, she said if anything would happen to a child, she said that she would want to be able to go after the person that had done it.
And we're talking a seventh Dan black belt.
Yeah, and there's been situations in the past around
But it won't bring your baby back.
I know, it won't bring your child back. I know. I'm just saying what she said.
But,
no, no.
But I love the idea, and they wouldn't be able to because there would be no laws to protect you to be able to go after that person.
No.
So you wouldn't be able to do it your way, Marto, even though I reckon there would be so many people who'd agree with you.
I think everybody. Yeah.
The law of common sense would. I think there should be a court of common sense. Just, I don't know.
Isn't that what Facebook is?
Yeah.
Isn't that what people on Facebook think they are?
Oh, apparently.
Marto, Ed and Robin, New Triple M.
Well, we're trying to analyse the loss last night in the Origin game, and, of course, we've come up with a few ideas. We had Mick Hancock on a little bit earlier, great Origin winger, and he told us this.
I work in the game. I know nothing, trust me.
Very helpful.
Everyone's backing away. Mm. We've got our problem last night, I think, was defence and inside the forwards, our defence. And the person who basically invented defence as a forward is Trevor the Axe Gilmister, Channel 7 current champion and Queensland Maroon assistant coach, 22 Origins for the state. Hey, Gilly, good morning, mate. What did you see last night?
It's a tough one. They had a day out New South Wales, or night out New South Wales. I suppose that's the best I've seen them play for a long time. So. Yeah, no, it was a bit disappointing, but as we know, it's a series. That's one up. Yep. So, and we've been been in this situation, long time ago. And I suppose the good thing is if you can knock them off the next two games, it probably makes it even more special.
I don't want to get too technical, Gilly, but the inside ball was killing us, which means defenders weren't working hard enough after the ball had gone past them. We were getting lazy off the ball.
No, you're dead right, mate. I thought, the first probably, 20, 25 minutes, they dominated us pretty well in the first half, and then we started to take control. And then that bloody late try just before half-time kind of killed us, and lost a lot of momentum then. And we, had a couple of base go off with the head knocks and that. But, it's a disappointing start for us, as I said, but... And not making excuses, but I mean, you don't take Matt Scott, Greg Inglis, and Jonathan Thurston out of that side.
Billy Slater.
All that experience and not lose a bit, So I thought the debutants were really good. But as I said, it's a series, mate. So it'll be nice to go down there and knock them off and make it 1-1, then come back home and 2-1. Be nice.
Hey, Gilly. What do you reckon, Gilly? Is it time for some Billy Slater for the next game?
Oh, mate. To me, that wouldn't have made a difference. Billy Slater's a sensational player. I love him to death. He's a great bloke to go with it. But Billy wouldn't have been the difference last night.
Okay.
He wouldn't have made any much more difference there.
Hey, okay. Gilly, you and Kevy are part of the coaching of the Maroons. Do you get harassed now? Like, what happens to you guys? The pressure would certainly be on.
Yeah, you get harassed by you people.
Come on, Gilly.
He's all
right. Now, how was Alan last night? You normally room with him. I don't know if you still do these days.
Yeah, mate, I should get about 20 gold medals for putting up with him for 12 years now. So
you don't get a lot of sleep, do you?
No. That's not one of his criteria. Robin said, you don't get harassed, but people always like to give their opinion. That's good because people are passionate about their Origin footy.
Do you take it on board, Gilly?
Oh, it depends who it is. obviously, Darren Lockyer, Gene Miles, and Kevy will get together. I'll speak to Kevy in the next couple of days, and you got to let it sink in a bit and reassess what's going on. So yeah, exactly right.
Gilly,
so,
did you get tapped on?
At the moment, we're a bit light on in the forwards, to be totally honest. So Matt Scott's a big loss.
It might be time for a couple of the older blokes to be tapped on the shoulder. Do you remember how it happened for you? Were you asked to finish up, or did you go, "Hold on, I think I'm done"?
No. I was too stubborn to say I'm done.
Oh, someone had to tell you.
Yeah, that might have been the German coming out of me.
I seem to remember you being carried off the field in your last game, Gilly, so I think you went out an absolute champion, my friend. Trevor Gilmister.
Enjoy it, mate. Enjoy footy. And as I said, it's a series. And as I said, they've done us so proud for the last 12 years. So
game two. Come on, let's get fired up. Game two. Again. Yeah. They can. All right, we'll see you on Channel 7 tonight, and appreciate you coming on. Mate. Assistant coach Trevor Gilmister. Good on you, mate.
He does. You do sound depressed, though, Gilly. I've got to say. Yeah, he's